Welcome to Feldman World Review.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening and happy Wednesday, Thursday, everybody. Sorry, I missed yesterday. I'm here today. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review. Thanking you for tuning in. I'm glad you found yourself here today. Listen to me talk. I'm going to be taking calls about midway through, 515-605-9344. So please feel free to call in at 515-605-9344, and I'd like to hear from you and what you think's going on here. And I'll tell you, it's getting pretty brutal. I mean, it really is getting brutal out there. The lies, you know, the lying and the Trump bashing, it just continues. It just continues on, one lie after the next. You know, they're defining somebody that doesn't even exist. You know, it's frightening. It's frightening how much hate there is. You know, sometimes I'm sure it happens to you guys also, right? You go out, you're having a conversation with a group of people, you're at work, you're home, you're on the phone, you're talking to a relative, somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, Trump's name comes up and you hear the hate. You hear the brainwashing. You know, and they all say the same thing. They all say the same thing. You know, like Hitler's the spawn of, Trump is Hitler, his new spawn, and he's using the Hitler playbook. You know, the only problem with that, you know, it, right on its face, it's crap because, you know, Socialist Workers Party. It's easy to confuse the German National Socialist Workers Party with the Democrats. I'm sorry, I keep getting them mixed up. They're the ones that are into the socialism, not Trump. Trump is not using the socialist playbook, and as a matter of fact, just by the way, he refuses to, like, he doesn't send the military, and he asks the governors for help. You know, the governors based on the federal republic structure. You know, the states have to reach out for FEMA help, before the federal government can go in. The states have to ask for a disaster relief. They have to get the federal money. They have to do these things, you know, like bringing the National Guard in or asking for that assistance, because you can't just run in. It's a federal republic. You know, the states have a lot of rights. And we know that there was times when, I think when Eisenhower sent the troops in to segregate the southern schools, where the Democrats wouldn't segregate their schools in Alabama, in Arkansas, in Mississippi, you know, across the South. You know, they keep calling him things they are, things they believe in. They believe in socialism, and obviously they believe in communism. And now they believe in Islamism because BLM is all about those three things. Antifa is totally a communist organization. They used to fight on the street against the Nazis in Germany, the anti-fascist Antifa. They're old. But the outcome's the same. Communism, national socialism, socialism, tyranny, fascism, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. Leads to the same thing. And this is what they're cheering for. What they're cheering for. It's pretty outrageous. But you know, it is Feldman World Review, and we have to do our little COVID update. Coronavirus, SARS, coronavirus 2, to be more exact, because that is the true name of this virus killing machine that came here and has killed a lot of people. There's no question about it. It's not a hoax in that way. That's for sure. The problem is we don't know the truth about how it got here. We know it came through the ports. We know it had to come from infected people, that it was human transport. That's what the Chinese said, that there wasn't any. And fortunately, Trump thought it through and stopped the people from coming from China. And then when they got blocked in China, they started sending them through Europe to come through New York and New Jersey and on the East Coast. You know, hence the intense concentration of death in New York. And of course, Cuomo helped with his mismanagement, and he didn't even know he had ventilators. Him and de Blasio, they didn't even know they had a warehouse of ventilators in New York. Thousands of them. Didn't even know they were there. They were out there crying, "There's no ventilators! We're not going to have any room! Oh my God, Trump builds them hospitals." Right? Trump sends them a hospital ship to handle thousands and thousands and thousands, and they didn't use it. I think, 25 people were used at the Jacob Javits Center, were brought to the Jacob Javits. I mean, it was absurd what happened. And they run around. They're trying to pin COVID-19 on him. They're trying to bid the insane North Korea on him, and the relationship with Russia and Iran and China on him. No. Those were all the lies. They're calling him a Nazi. They're calling him a racist. They're calling him xenophobic. He's none of those things. In fact, he was never called any of those things until he ran for president. And it got worse and worse and worse as he got closer, and then he won. And as soon as he won, from that November on, it's been nonstop. Bash the president, lie to the president, insult the president. You can spit in his face. You can spit on his shoes. And that's how he's treated. He's treated that way by the media. He's treated that way by any Democrats. It's totally outrageous. And his intent is good because, you could say, he doesn't play the saxophone or wear sunglasses as well as Bill Clinton. But Trump's done more for minority communities in this country than in combination than any other president. The segregationist LBJ likes to take credit for the Voting Rights Act and the Equal Rights Act. But the Democrats are reluctant. I mean, Al Gore's father voted against it, as I've said a million frickin' times. The racism comes out of the Democrat Party. The KKK comes out of the Democrat Party. They're trying to reflect. I guess that's the old adage, right? Accuse your enemy. I can never remember anymore. Was it Joseph Goebbels or was it Saul Alinsky? One of them said... One of them said, accuse your enemy of what you're doing. So if you're extorting money from people with physical threats, you accuse your rival, your opponent of doing that. If you're trying to create a racially charged environment where there's violence, you blame your opponent for doing that. Just the fact that Trump's standing there is the reason why all these riots began. And forget the fact that these riots have been around before during Obama, particularly with Ferguson. How about the 5 police officers shot in Dallas while Black Lives Matter was marching in Dallas saying, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. But Trump's the big problem. They keep bringing the big problem. And I jumped over my coronavirus update, but I'm going to give it to you now. Coronavirus update, got to do this every week because there's always new stories based around it. But Daniel Payne reported for Just the News that Oregon has a coronavirus fund, which may violate the U.S. Constitution because it excludes non-black applicants. This seems to be where we're heading all across the board. I thought affirmative action. I thought, listen, both sets of my grandparents came here after 1900. My family genetically, no matter what Obama says, my family had nothing to do with the Democrats having slaves in the South from, the 1600s until the end of the Civil War. I had nothing to do with that. So just step off. Step back. But this COVID-19 relief fund for African Americans operated out of Portland, Oregon. Isn't that ironic? You know, Portland, Oregon, I heard a guy describe it this way. There are Antifa bars. And I mean, you know, where you go get a drink. There's Antifa bars in Portland that are specifically designated Antifa bars. They must be BLM bars, right? And, you know, probably the Muslim Brotherhood bars. Because this is certainly a Marxist-Islamist coalition. This is not, this is all the enemies together. It's funny how they represent the governments of Russia and China and Iran. You know, death to America. It's very strange, but I digress. I'm sorry. But this COVID-19 fund for African Americans operated out of Portland, Oregon, with federal tax dollars, may run afoul of both the Constitution and the 1964 Civil Rights Act, as it excludes non-black applicants, legal experts warn. Now, the Oregon Care Fund for Black Relief and Resiliency said it seeks to offer, quote, economic relief for the black community, who are among Oregon's most vulnerable groups due to the systemic divestment and disparities widened and exacerbated by COVID-19. The program is administered by two local nonprofits, the Contingent and the Black United Fund of Oregon. Now, quote, the Oregon Cares Fund is designed to designed and led by black leaders of the black community, the program's website states. The funds are meant to provide the black community with resources it needs to weather the global health pandemic and consequent recession. And the Oregon Cares Fund is for black people, black-owned businesses, black community-based organizations, but not ours, not yours, not mine, not the Chinese. You know, how about all the Asians? How about all the Latinos that lost businesses, that lost their buildings? How about people that were trapped in buildings that were set on fire by the scumbags and either had to move or are living on the street or went to a motel or that aren't black? You know, I don't know. I'm getting sick of everything being defined in this way. It's just outrageous. But they're using COVID. They're using COVID-19 to just circumvent the Equal Protection Clause that bans the government from discriminating based on race. The Supreme Court has allowed some exceptions under the rubric of race-based action, but it's quite clear that if it's just open to one race, it's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. You know, Ilya Shapiro, the director of the Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute, was more blunt. He said, for any group that's getting federal funds or tax breaks, racial discrimination is just a constitutional non-starter. Well, how about that? How about that? They're taking COVID money in the guise of COVID protection. And they're basically, you know, it's like reverse racism, if you want to call it that. See, I don't believe there's systemic racism in America. There was systemic racism in the South, particularly. But let's face it, my grandparents, when both sets of my grandparents came here as immigrants from different countries in Europe and Russia, okay, they were treated like crap, called names, made jokes of. You know, they just wanted to come here, put their heads down, and get a job, and work, and have a family, and take care of their family, take care of their children. They weren't looking for handouts. They were looking for SNAP. They didn't want a free cell phone. You know, they were just coming here just to be free, because they were escaping the tyranny that we see on the horizon right now with this revolutionary coalition running around, threatening Americans, threatening Americans' history, threatening what we are. You know, it's not just tearing down monuments. It's not just tearing down monuments. We can't get this far away from the Constitution. That's the whole idea. We need to fight for the Constitution. It's been the best, fairest system. More people have benefited from the American capitalist federal republic system than any other system. It's not racially, it's not, it's not systemically racism. You know, people didn't, you know, people were uncomfortable with immigrants coming in, I guess. But for the most part, it wasn't that bad. It's not like now where Jews walk down the street, some people, they see a guy with a yarmulke on, and they go and they just beat him to a pulp. Grandfathers, old men are getting beaten in Brooklyn and in Bed-Stuy, all around the world, in France. Just get beat down just because you got a hat on. A Trump supporter, same thing. This is their mentality. And it's all based on hate. That's all they have. That's all they have. And now they're using, okay, the fairness, the greatness of America's concern for all peoples, and they're abusing this COVID money to run an unconstitutional program that's only helping one race of people. Outrageous. Think if that was reversed. Well, we're only going to help out the Brian Feldman family, and anybody that's not in that family is not going to get any of this COVID money. So I'd like to see that sometime, right? We'd have to. And then another COVID update here is, Mario Cuomo must be rolling in his grave, or he's very happy at the way his boys turned out, you know? But the governor of New York, he says that his administration is not going to respond to the request on COVID-19 nursing home deaths until after the November elections. Oh. Well, you know, God. I mean, what are we crazy? We want to know the truth now? We can wait, right? But, you know, good old Joe Hoff's article about this, he noted that that New York has the highest rate of deaths of any state in the U.S., and this is due to the inhumane, murderous policies of Governor Cuomo and his Department of Health. Okay, now back in May, Gateway reported that New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo, Health Commissioner Howard Zucker, MD, and Executive Deputy Commissioner Sally Dreslin, their actions led to thousands of deaths in New York State. Now, Yaakov Applebaum at the Illustrated Primer shared that these New York politicians are accountable for thousands of nursing home deaths because of their insane directives related to the China coronavirus. Applebaum first pointed out the ludicrous directive from the New York's Department of Health. And he said that, you know, during this global health emergency, all NH's nursing homes must comply with the expedited receipt of residents returning from hospitals to NH, to the nursing homes. And it's just, you know, it's outrageous, but these people are so entitled. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, right? She's so entitled. You know, she had her staff call up this beauty parlor, probably call the owner. They probably, you know, she probably got special deals. You could say that was a terrible highlighting job, by the way. It almost looked like they stopped midway through, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe her hair is just dead. I don't know. But, you know, they're so entitled, like she can just go do that. And, you know, and she doesn't know the laws in California. You know, everybody keeps forgetting Gavin Newsom's her nephew. And he's the governor of the state. She's number three in power in the federal government. You know, president, vice president, speaker of the house. She doesn't know. And then she gets up and lies, and they try to bury this beautician. It's unbelievable. He's just going to make us wait. You know, he's not going to tell the truth. You know, he's constantly accusing the president, my president, our president, of lying all the time. And he's a liar. And he's got a lot to hide. You know. I mean, Gateway reported in last May that in 2018, Governor Andrew Cuomo faced a challenge to his reelection bid in the New York State Democrat primary. And he got a last-minute $1 million cash infusion from the General New York Hospital Association, the GNYHA, a powerful New York healthcare industry group. Now, on April 2nd, 2020, he repaid the favor when he quietly signed legislation shielding hospital and nursing home executives from any lawsuits stemming from the coronavirus outbreak. Is that incestuous or what? Now, the clauses inserted into the annual budget bill by Cuomo give a blanket immunity protections for healthcare industry executives and administrators, the same individuals and institutions that have made a fortune moving sick COVID-19 patients into the nursing homes. You know, I wish I had Janice Dean here to talk about that right now. But the GNYHA gave to the Democrats an unheard of $3 million in the 2018 election cycle. Of this, Cuomo and his state party committee received close to $2.3 million from various hospital and nursing home industry donors. Governor Cuomo returned the favor with his directive forcing COVID-19 patients back into elderly homes. This directive provided a massive increase in revenues in organizations associated with GNYHA who were paid handsomely for COVID patients. It was a bonanza, Gateway says here and notes that. And if you go to their page, you can see they have all the backup information. But, you know, this whole COVID thing's been unbelievable. And they also uncovered the fact that 10% of reported COVID-19 deaths for those under 35, as reported by the CDC, are due to poisoning, trauma, or unintentional injuries. And this is Joe again. It's like the death rates for COVID are questionable at best. And you won't believe the category for 10% of the COVID-19 deaths for individuals under the age of 35. You know, well, first of all, you know, you heard that story where only really 9,210 Americans died from COVID-19 alone. Okay, so out of the 180,000 or whatever the number is right now, 9,210 of those dead people that have been reported for COVID-19 had COVID-19 alone. So COVID-19 alone killed them. 9,210. All the rest had multiple illnesses and threatening illnesses. It's amazing. You know, 6% of the deaths are really 100% COVID-19. And, you know, this has been a terrible disease. The death toll was a lot larger than it should have been, than it could have been, because of mismanagement in different states, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And we all know about, you know, what do they call them? The Love Gov. You know, the communist Cuomo. You know, he tries to distance himself from Bill de Blasio because de Blasio is just like a, you know, he just seethes, you know, socialist Marxist sweat. You know, like he's such, you know, that's, and Bill de Blasio is not even his name. His name is William Wilhelm. So he's really German. I don't know where the Italian came from. I guess it's one of his relatives. I don't know. I should have looked it up, right? But he doesn't even use his real name like Obama. Didn't even use his birth name, should I say. Wait, real name. Okay. Should he, you know, they're not using their birth name. What is going on? What's going on with that? You know, how many of these other people? I mean, we already have people that are in administrations in you know, in the government, particularly in some of the Democrat, where they're dressed up like a woman, but they were born a man, and now they have, you know, now they're in government, and you know, it's insane. It's truly insane what's going on. But you know, Cuomo, he needs to face the music. I know that's not really totally AG Barr's job, but you know, AG Barr, since I'm sure you're listening here tonight, I'm just saying you need to put together some indictments, put together some grand juries, you know, put it together. Let's, you know, got to start moving on some of this stuff. There's, you know, guys like Tom Fenton. So many people have done so much work to get facts out. And Tom Fenton the other day, he said something that stuck with me, you know. You know, Tom Fenton, he's the... he's the man from Judicial Watch. Well, he said, will violent criminals attack voters on Election Day? You know, I started thinking about that. you know, because of the way they're doing it right now. You know, we go to a Trump rally, they're there protesting, attacking, screaming, you know. You go anywhere and they find out something's going on, they try to figure out a way. The Antifa BLM Muslim Brotherhood Care Group, you know, the what I call the Marxist Islamist coalition here in America. And because there's a lot of street gangs, there's a lot of other subgroups that are all involved. But, you know, that's why if you just call them BLM, they could say, well, if you're against BLM, then you're against Black Lives. Okay? And if you're against Antifa, then you're for fascism. So I just want to call them what they are. They're the Marxist Islamist Revolutionary Coalition. And they can't play any games. That's what I'm going to name them. They can't. They tried to name themselves, and it's not adequate. So I'm naming them. And as Mark Levin says, all you backbenchers, you can use it tomorrow. You know, because that's what it is. And what gets left out of a lot of the news is how involved, you know, the American Islamists are. Well, the founders of the BLM movement were Muslim, radical. Radical Muslim, Islamists. And the violence gets crazy, you know, and I think about the violence in some of the Islamic countries during elections. And I think, is that what we're going to face? You know, is that the kind of thing that we're going to face now? Right? Can we expect, I mean, think about this. Can we expect violence at election polls, on election day, from Antifa, or the BLM, or the Islamists, the Communists, the Socialists, the Democrats. Maybe they'll be there screaming in our faces. You know. But, you know, mobs could stand outside the polling booths. You know, knocking off our hats, threatening our families. Hitting people with sticks and frozen water bottles. They could be damaging cars, lighting them on fire, waving guns, yelling into people's faces. You know, we've seen it. You know, even though the mainstream media tried to ignore it and the Democrat Party tried to ignore it, although they were the ones egging these people on and giving them credibility all along, and then the whole thing that was the best one on CNN, right? The peaceful protest. The guy goes, they're mostly peaceful protests. And he's standing in front of a building and three cars that are on fire right behind him. It was pretty funny. But, you know, CNN deserves all the humiliation it can get because it's really turned into, you know, the Praetorian Guard media or whatever you want to refer to them as. You know, but just think about that. We go to the polls and these guys are out there. But guess what? The Democrats have done this before. The Democrats have done this before. Back after the Emancipation Proclamation and after the slaves were freed and in many cases they were given land to start a farm or they were given some way to get going. These guys worked hard. They went to school. They went to college. All the 1880s, 1890s, turn of the century, going through the 20s during the quote-unquote Reconstruction of the South. You know, they were running for office. There were African-Americans in Congress. And I'm not talking about the state Congress. I'm talking about the national Congress. There were African-Americans graduating from college. They were doing great. Most all of them were registered Republican. Most all of them at the time were living in the South. And they would go to the polls to vote. And they're going there to vote Republican. And they would stop white Republicans, too. And if there were Latino Republicans somewhere in Alabama, they would have stopped them, too. But the Democrats, they're used to voter suppression. They do this really well. They've been doing it for a long time. They won a ton of elections in Alabama, in Arkansas, in Mississippi, and in Georgia. You know, the Deep South. You know, the Democrats won a lot of elections using this intimidation. You know, the Klan would go down. There were also, like, community civil groups that would also go there with rifles and stand around, but the Klan would go there in the hoods and stand in front of the thing. And when the African-American voters would come up, or any Republican voter would come up, they would say, you know, you got a couple of choices here. You vote Democrat. You go back home. One, you vote Democrat. Two, you go back home. Three, you die tonight. You know, what do you think we're getting from this leftist mob? This is the same, you know, they want to talk about, oh, Hitler, you know, Trump's using the Hitler playbook, and yeah, he's using, you know, Hitler, you know, right. Trump's the next Pol Pot. He's a Stalin. He's a Mao Zedong. You know, it's funny because Antifa, who's communist, and the BLM, who are Marxists, those are their freaking heroes. Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong. You heard of the Maoists? You know, you have these extreme Marxists and the extreme Islamists in the world, and they're working together. You know, Russia, China, Iran, they've been working together forever. And it's just so funny that they mirror them. But they'll tell you that Trump is the problem when he's not. They believe these lies. People believe these lies about Trump. The mainstream media props it up. You know? And just like what Cuomo did with that hospital association, funneling money back and forth. This is what's going on. This is what created the deep state. This is what creates government officials that we elect. They're supposed to be there, those congressmen and those senators are supposed to be there representing us. They get there. After 6 months, they're representing themselves, their family. They get rich and screw the rest of us, and that has to end. And that's what Trump's fighting, and that's why they want him so bad. They want him out so bad. But the Democrats, they're experts on this voter suppression and cheating. You know, they've already got this master plan with the mail-in ballots, right? Because, you know, on election night, we'll all go to bed, you know. See, that's why, you know, and Trump's winning. And then a week later, all these ballots will come flying in the mail, and suddenly they'll find bags, and they'll accuse groups of people of trying to take real vote ballots and hide them somewhere like they did in Florida with the Al Gore George Bush election. You know, they tried a little of everything here along the way. They thought they had created enough illegal ballots in Florida to win. That's why they were so shocked that they lost. They knew they had enough illegal ballots in there. You know, I just want to mention, too, you know, you guys remember the Chads, because I don't want to go back through that whole nightmare, but that we didn't know who the president was for months. But, you know, the Chad, I just want to tell you something. That card, if it goes into one of those voting machines with the needle's so long it punches the hole out. The only way you can have a whole bunch of cards without the holes punched all the way through is if you try to do 10 or 20 at a time with an awl in your hand and try to push them through like you're trying to create votes. Think I'm crazy? Well, you can think I'm crazy. But this mail-in voter thing is the same idea. So listen, guess what? Here's the secret. The secret is that all of us, all Americans who believe in America, have to go vote for Trump. We've got to win by 20%. If we win by 20%, not only will we outvote the cheating, it'll be harder for them to say, oh, look, it was within 800,000 votes, and China, Russia, Iran, and the Panamanians all helped Trump win. It didn't matter that so many people went out and voted, because voting, you know, that's racist, right? Not just the ID, but the whole idea of voting. You know, the people with the most guns, the people that can be the most violent, the people that can be the most hateful, the people that can hurt the most people, they should control, right? I mean, that's obviously what Antifa thinks. That's what the BLM thinks. That's what the Islamists think. And that's what the Democrats think. There's no lie, there's no violence, there's no outcome, okay, that's unacceptable if you're winning elections. And that's the level of hate we are at right now. You know, that's the level of hate we're at right now. And they continue to lie, constantly lying, just blatant lies. It's all propped up by the mainstream media. And so you've got a, you know, you got 40% of the population that believe this shit. You've got a lot of independents waking up. You've got a lot of African Americans waking up. You've got a lot of Latinos waking up. It's going to be a whole different animal out here. If he can win every state with the Electoral College, they'll say that wasn't good enough. But he's got to win the popular vote. We've got to win big. We really have to go out and vote. Do not. I was so disappointed in 2018. Please do not let that happen again. Okay? We gave all the conservatives, the Never Trumpers, and the other fools that didn't go vote, gave the House to Nancy Pelosi. And look what has happened. In 2 years, impeachments, lawsuits, and a hairdo. I mean, it's absurd. We can't let it happen again. We've got to win these elections. I mean, I was so disgusted in 2018 when we lost the House, I stopped broadcasting. Even though this is great therapy for me, I need this. I need to sit here and just go on and on and on and on and on. And if you guys have something to say, remember, you can call in if you want, 515-605-9344. That's 515-605-9344. And I just, you know, I'm just totally just disgusted with the whole thing, you know. And then there was all the crap with Kenosha, you know, the big Kenosha thing back and forth. What he, you know, the governor and the mayor said, don't come, Donald Trump, don't come. But he went up there because there was a lot of other people to talk to, like the police and the sheriff's department and all the other first responders and the people that really cleaned it up. And they cleaned it up fast. And, of course, the Democrat mayor of Kenosha, he admitted, when he spoke to somebody at law enforcement today, he admitted that the National Guard has been extremely helpful in stopping the riots. Yeah, you know, you want to say, no, Sherlock, right? But anyway, you know, after the shooting of Jacob Blake, nights of rioting ensued, which caused significant property damage, including historic buildings being burnt to the ground. President Trump offered the National Guard, and surprisingly, Democrat leaders agreed, although they now say it wasn't because of his offer, of course, you know. Yet Mayor John Antaramian now praises how quickly the National Guard brought an end to the violence in such a short period of time. Well, that's because Trump was lying, see. He didn't realize that that was actually could happen. Anyway, in an interview with CNN, Altermanian said, quote, I will tell you, though, the National Guard has been extremely helpful, and we feel comfortable that we can keep the president safe and keep the public safe. Mostly, we need to try to make sure that there's a calm in the community, and that is what we are hoping to maintain. Yeah, calm. And Terry Emian said that the response to the request of the National Guard being on scene was a quick turnaround. He said the city made the request for the National Guard to come in. The government immediately dealt with it. And within 12 hours after the request, it had been done. The guard was there. And, you know, it put it down because, we are dealing with violent felons, many of whom have been let out of jail multiple times. You know, there was people in Washington, D.C. the other day that had just come from Portland, that had just been in other cities. These people are being moved around in huge buses all over the country. They're all being paid. This is really organized. And, you know, I'm hoping that the Justice Department, the Department of Justice and A.G. Barr and his team, that he's got people following this money. Following this money. Because this has been insane. You know, but, you know, the mayor obviously, you know, it helped. It helped. And, you know, Trump said he felt real, real safe. But did you happen to see the Pennsylvania rally today? There was a whole overflow lot of people. All these people show up. Thousands and thousands of supporters went to watch the president. And there was a whole area away from where the plane and the main area where people are that was packed. And the people stood there. And he arrived in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, this Thursday evening, just hours ago. And this was his second visit to the battleground state in 2 weeks. And the last Rasmussen poll shows the presidential race all tied up in Pennsylvania. Now, I don't trust those polls at all. I just don't trust the polls at all. But I'd rather he run as an underdog, kind of like the last time. And then you just go in there and we all, like I was just saying before, we go out and vote as a block and make sure that we get the House, hold the Senate, get him reelected. You know, get him reelected. But, I mean, there was huge people there, huge crowds of people there for president. And, you know, it'll be nice, I guess. Maybe it won't happen. They're using COVID to shut it all down. But Latrobe, PA, I agree with a lot of people that you really did a great showing for the president. And it was packed. I mean, just packed. All kinds of people, males, females, everybody was represented. And there was tons of them there. And then somebody that doesn't like Trump so much, Governor Cuomo, you know what he said? He said that Trump better have an army to protect him if he ever comes to New York. And the New York Post reported that on Wednesday, he all but threatened President Trump's safety if he returns to New York City in a rant, responding to an exclusive story by the Post. You know, I'm getting a little... Are you guys getting sick of the sedition and the treason that goes on here? Do you? Because I am getting so sick of it. It happens all the time. The lack of respect. And just like California, please, do not reelect Nancy Pelosi. And New York, please, when it comes time, don't reelect Cuomo or de Blasio or a lot of those other... You know, skanks that have been ruining the city. I mean, Giuliani saved New York, brought it back to being a top city, and Bloomberg wrote it about as long as he could, and de Blasio is destroying New York, and Cuomo's letting him do it. And I lived in Manhattan. My father worked in Manhattan for decades. I know New York. I know these people. I know New York a lot. And it's just so sad what New York looks like. You know, it's just so sad. And even with these lawless AGs going after Trump in New York State, you know, the Southern District Court of New York, you know, they're all plants. These are all Soros-financed officials. You know, he financed their elections so they'd be elected so you could have prosecutors and you could have AGs all controlled as part of the deep state mob that's in the government. And you see him every day. Can you believe that? He said the president he couldn't come to New York. I mean, that's outrageous. Now, Kellyanne Conway, who I'm going to miss. She's, I guess her daughter's a lot of problems, so I'm going to miss her. But she was on Showtime Circus, as reported in Fox News, and she says that there's a lot of undercover Trump voters that will surprise everyone at the polls, and I hope that's true. We have to make that a happening. We can't be complacent ever. We have to outvote cheating, voter fraud, and mail-in ballots. We could do it if we all show up. In 2018, we could have picked the mayor of New York. We could have picked the governor of New Jersey. We could have picked the senator in Virginia. And we failed. And we can't do it again. We can't do it. You know, there was low voter turnout, especially when there's like 25% turnout in New Jersey, and it just ruined me. I left the internet airwaves for 9 months. But you know, but Kellyanne Conway calls these people undercover Trump voters, and she was reprising the term that she had coined in 2016. To help explain the president's upset victory over Hillary Clinton. She said, quote, as the person who coined the term hidden undercover Trump voter in 2016, there are even more of them, and they're even more committed now, she said. And they're going to surprise you as to who they are this time, because you've seen the poll, 62% of Republicans or Trump supporters are afraid to even express themselves. They express themselves at the ballot box. Because we don't want to get attacked. And that's why, you know, that's why I wonder. That's why I asked the question earlier on the show. Is, are we going to go to vote and be met with like an Antifa line, you know, sitting around, you know, an Antifa group intimidating people from going into the ballot box, yelling and screaming, demanding who they know, making them put a power sign fist up in the air, whatever stupid, immature, ignorant Marxist theater that they want to create. And that's what they do. They create theater, they use lies, they use deception, and they use personal attacks. And let's face it, everything Joe Biden is running on is a lie. Everything he's running on. You know, the idea of no bail, you know, refinancing the police. I mean, it's incredible. And the left is fighting a man that doesn't exist. You know, they have created, you know, Donald Trump is a person. He's our president. President Donald John Trump. But in the propaganda world, okay, in the propaganda media world, they have created a man that's a racist, right? That is a hater. That's xenophobic. That hates gays. He hates women. He hates Latinos. He hates everybody, even though he works very hard for all those groups. But they're fighting a man that doesn't exist. So that's the first lie. They've created a man that does not exist. You know, that's who they're marching against. When they say, you know, Trump, we're going to drag Trump out of the thing. Trump's a racist. He's a Nazi. He doesn't even exist. That person they're talking about doesn't exist. That is not Donald Trump. Then there's systemic racism. Okay. Systemic racism exists in every society and culture around the world, especially in Islamic cultures. You know, but as far as the United States goes, that has changed a lot. Listen, my wife and I raised four boys. Okay. Our sons, almost all their heroes were not white. Okay. We didn't raise kids like that. We weren't talking about that. I didn't get raised that way either. You know, I believe in the things that Ayn Rand said about collectivism, about racism. It's the lowest form of human intelligence. Or you can't even call it intelligence. It's just this low form. And it doesn't exist. It shouldn't exist anywhere, no matter what it is. The racism is absurd. You know, defining people by their race. Everything's defined by the race. You know? But Biden's he's just winging it. He's just reading. There was a great article in Front Page. Trump is Churchill, Biden is Munich. You know? And, you know, Donald Trump's America. You know, Biden's sitting there talking about it. And Donald Trump's America, Black Lives Matter, and all this violence. That's not right. You know, all this violence is being supported by the media and the Democrats and the socialists. Probably China, Iran. I mean, I know China and Russia and Iran are loving it. Because if you go to any of the foreign press like I do every morning, they're loving it. They think this is just great, especially the Chinese. You know, Donald Trump tried to stand up to them and he tried to fight them. And what did we end up with? We ended up with a virus. Right? But Biden's party has a prescription for ending the insurrection. You know what that is? You got to elect Biden. And Biden talks about Trump's America. Now, the worst of the rioting has happened in cities under the iron heel of the ultra-progressive wing of the Democrat Party. D.C., New York, Chicago, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland. You know? And Don Fetter put together this list. It's in Seattle, you had Mayor Jenny Durkin ceding control of a historic section of the city to Jacobins for the month of June. Initially, she said the occupation could be the beginning of the summer of love. Like, you know, and 9/11 was Woodstock, right? When murder and mayhem spiraled out of control, she finally acted. The city's black female chief resigned in disgust. She just finally walked away. I mean, it was horrible what happened. Portland's now going through its fourth month of violence. The genius, Mayor Ted Wheeler, has a brilliant strategy. Hope the riots will burn themselves out. I guess when they run out of wood in Seattle. But while refusing all offers of assistance from Washington. At one time, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot had 140 police assigned to guarding her home. While crime rates soared and ordinary citizens saw their businesses looted and their children shot in the street. And the wonderful, the one and only Big Bird, William Wilhelm, otherwise known as New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. His idea of law and order was slashing police funding by $1 billion and personally painting Black Lives Matter mural outside Trump Tower. I mean, come on, is that juvenile or what? He's our hero. Now, Biden says he does not want to defund the police, just to reallocate resources. I mean, come on. Weasel words for defending the police by degree. Right? I mean, it's incredible. The Democrats, they had great success, right, negotiating with Iran and China under Obama Biden, right? And they learned that they loved working with totalitarians like Cuba and Venezuela, Russia, Germany. You know, it's absurd what they did. You know, Obama was basically hiring former Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood operatives that were working in the White House as part of their, what did I call it? Marxist Islamist Revolutionary Coalition. You know? And, you know, Barack Obama helped build that. You know, we didn't build anything. Right? The American people didn't build anything. The small businesses in this country didn't build anything. The only thing that matters is COVID. The only thing that matters is COVID. But, you know, there's been murders now, and they always play it down. And, of course, you always hear about, you know, if it was a right-wing person or if it was a police officer, it's like ad nauseum in the media. You know, but there was a Trump supporter, an unarmed Trump supporter, wearing a back-to-blue hat, was basically isolated and murdered in Portland, you know, and he was supposedly an Antifa security guard. His name was Michael Ryano, and the Antifa security guard, you know, was reported in the New York Post by Jorge Fitzgibbon. The Antifa security guard allegedly being eyed in the shooting death of a President Trump supporter during protests in Portland has broken his silence. But here's a guy that we have video and witnesses that he murdered this guy. Never been arrested. He's never been arrested. He has not been arrested. He's just considered a suspect. Hasn't been arrested, so he's still out on the street. And he did an interview with Vice News. He's got time for that. He said he had no choice. And he also said, quote, "You know, lots of lawyers suggested that I shouldn't even be saying anything, but I feel it's important that the world at least gets a little bit of what's really going on," Michael Forrest Reynolds said during an exclusive interview with the outlet. And it's airing in a couple of minutes, 11 o'clock, on Vice. And he goes, "I had no choice. I mean, I had a choice. I could have sat there and watched them kill a friend of mine of color." Now, the man that was murdered was there with a friend of his. They were walking down the street, and they heard this noise come up from behind them. And if you've seen the video, they start yelling, "Wait, there's another one, there's another one." And then, you know, and pull it out, and they get the gun out, and they shot the guy in cold blood. The guy hasn't been arrested. He's doing interviews. So everybody understands. So he admitted that he killed this guy. He, on Vice has videotape of him admitting that he murdered this guy. And he should be arrested. It's a 48-year-old. What was the other quote I saw that he made yesterday? That he's all Antifa. You know, but they won't even arrest this guy. But that's not important. See, what he did is, you know what's important? That 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, who's still in jail since that night, is now declared a mass murderer by Facebook, who will not allow posts in support of Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, Facebook is officially, is reported in Breitbart, and it says here that Facebook is officially designating the actions of Kyle Rittenhouse, and Facebook, you know, they're better than the Supreme Court, right? They've designated his actions of Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who allegedly killed two people and wounded another in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after being mobbed and attacked by rioters, a mass murderer, despite the fact that this has not been proven in court. Facebook confirmed that it would remove any posts that support Rittenhouse. And they also, if you support hydrochloroquine And also, maybe if you support the Constitution. They don't want your opinion, conservatives. They don't want you on Facebook. And I've got to get rid of my addiction. You know, I use it, invite people to the show and all. But, you know, so Facebook, he's a mass murderer. You know, but, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Bob Anderson in The Federalist wrote a great little piece that the only fact the left needs to jump on Kyle Rittenhouse is that he supports guns, the Second Amendment, and he supports Trump. That's all they need. Angry voices on the left continue to condemn Kyle Rittenhouse before we have all the facts. And we already know. I've seen so much video. Before he shot anybody, he was attacked and shot at and threatened. Right here in the article, it says, last week, a 17-year-old young man decided to pick up an AR-15 and patrol the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Hailing from Antioch, Illinois, a 30-minute drive away, Kenosha wasn't his neighborhood. Even so, he wanted to assist in the effort to maintain law and order. Now, in a video shot around 10 p.m., Kyle Rittenhouse explained his purpose, saying, people are getting injured, and our job is to protect this business. And part of my job is also to help people. If there's anybody hurt, I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my rifle, because I need to protect myself, obviously. But I also have a med kit. Now, at 11:30 p.m., video footage shows police offering Rittenhouse some water and telling him, we appreciate you guys, we really do. 15 minutes later, Rittenhouse was involved in an incident that resulted in him shooting three protesters, two of whom died, protesters. Oh, I let it get by me. These are Marxist rioters, not protesters. Now, arrested the next day, he has been charged with crimes that could land him in life in jail for the rest of his life. And although much of what happened that night, and the police even told him they appreciated that he was there. I mean, there was nobody there, you know, standing up for the community. He did a lot of things. He was at the local high school cleaning graffiti off walls. You know, this kid, he's been involved in cadet programs with the local fire and police departments. He works as a YMCA lifeguard. He had a medical kit strapped to his side, and he can be seen offering services on the streets, including the protesters saying, I am an EMT. If you are injured, come to me. Video footage shows he helped someone shot with a rubber bullet. Now, the word help pops up a lot when researching Rittenhouse. Indeed, earlier that fateful day, he was photographed helping clean graffiti from the high school. You know, it all paints a picture of a kid who values law and order and those who uphold it. Now, however, he stands charged with murder. But when you look at that, you know that they were coming to get, they were going to kill him, just like they killed the guy in Portland. These guys have been carrying, you know, the McCloskeys over there in St. Louis to try to defend their house. They looked out and they saw people carrying weapons and making threatening comments. You know, they were standing out on the guy's lawn and picking rooms. That's going to be my room, and that can be your room. And, I mean, give me a break. You know, the Marxists, they're here, right, to take all our stuff, to take our houses, our homes, our schools, our colleges, our libraries, the lives that we build in our life. You know, the Democrats just don't care. They don't care about these salon owners or these restaurant owners, these bar owners all this time, that their lives are being totally... They want to destroy small businesses. They probably want all these people to become wards of the state so they can control their lives and control them. You know, but the truth has to come out. I mean, I keep praying every day that one of the media outlets, you know, one of these mainstream media outlets, the fake news, one of them cracks one day and they start telling the truth, start telling the truth about our president, about how he was spied on illegally, telling the truth about the sedition and treason that's been carried out by Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Barack Obama, and a whole bunch of other people. That sold us out to Iran, sold us out to China, thanks Bill Clinton, sold us out, and Trump's fixing it. The media should start telling that truth, because that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. But listen, folks, we've got to get out and vote. We have got to get out and vote. We have got to win back the House, keep the Senate, and we have to outvote the cheating. It can be done, but we got to get everybody out there, people that maybe haven't voted before. We have to get out and vote. You got to bring everybody you know to the poll. You've been listening to Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving saying thanks for tuning in. Remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
Your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Boy, excuse me. I want to thank you for listening to the September 3rd episode, September 3rd, 2020 episode of Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here. Thanking you for tuning in. Glad you guys keep coming back. Really appreciate the support. You know, bring family, friends, cousins. You can listen to us anywhere, day or night, home or abroad, in the car, on the plane. It really doesn't matter. But like, listen in. But I'd really like you to come live. Normally Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. and Sunday nights at 10 p.m. I happen to do a Thursday tonight, but that doesn't always happen. And I just please tune in, support the show, and remember, when it can get really bad, it's going to get crazy. But when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.